Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I warned you last week. The story around Trump, tariffs, trade wars has many layers to it, and that's exactly what we continue to discuss and distill today. In as much as we focus on the equity space, we also need to be mindful that for small and medium-sized entities, primarily those who are involved in the supply chain of goods and services that might move between China, the US, and maybe even some of our international peers, we do need to be mindful as to how it is that they are positioned in this regard. And to help us unpack this further is the head of supply chain at Investec Business Banking, Dylan Govender, who joins us this evening to give us some insight. Such a pleasure to see you, Dylan, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Google, and good evening to your listeners.
I'm excited to have this conversation with you because as I look at your title, I can imagine that the COVID-19 pandemic must bring some nightmares for you. Are these nightmares being relived regarding potential disruptions to the supply chain on the back of Trump's tariffs?
Disruption, certainly, but I don't think like COVID, you know, it's there's a lot of uncertainty in the market in terms of what Trump is doing and, you know, uncertainty in terms of where we actually stand. These tariffs that's being imposed, you know, it's affecting our export market majority in terms of goods going into the U.S. So a 30% imposition, can that be absorbed into the U.S. market? Mm-hmm. And if it cannot, then we're losing sales from a South African perspective. And you look at 2024 in terms of the volumes that we moved to the U.S., 156 billion approximately.
Ooh.
You know, which is massive.
Yeah.
So a 30% duty imposition on that day itself, it's just ridiculous. You know, it makes no sense. And this is not something that's just targeted to South Africa. It's across the entire globe. So it's not as though you're going to be able to renegotiate these tariff structures with each and every country you import from. So it just doesn't make sense, you know.
Exactly.
In terms of global supply chain and disruptions that you mentioned, you know, we're already seeing a halt into imports in the U.S. Certain car manufacturers have put a halt because this is the immediate imposition. This is not something that's being phased over time to give importers time to plan their supply chain. Your supply chain is planned 3 to 6 months in advance. Your orders are placed with the factories. Manufacturers is in place. Goods are underwater, you know, and all of a sudden you're slapped with these additional duties now. So you're going to see a lot of cancellation of orders.
Yeah.
A lot of blank sailings hitting because there's not enough cargo to fill those vessels.
Mm.
Suppliers are going to be overstocked, you know, possibly looking at rerouting those goods into different regions where they can possibly, you know, like global companies trying to get it into different regions of the world as opposed to the U.S. You know, but how long does this last? Is Trump going to backtrack on what he's trying to impose? He's putting a 90-day halt at the moment in terms of SA exports.
Yeah.
You know, but China is a massive economy in itself, and we're going to see a lot of effect on them in terms of the manufacturing that's happening there, smaller exporters, how they're going to be affected in terms of their factories and staff as well.
Got you. Dylan, you tickled my brain cells when you mentioned the supply chain costs and the forward planning that goes into place, because there's a lot of hedging strategies that are typically used against the currency, pricing. The pricing is also, I guess, predicted for future forecasts in terms of profitability or revenue streams for businesses. Help us understand how this, as you've mentioned, further murkies the waters. But in terms of planning going forward, yes, we have a 90-day pause, but there's still a lot of, I guess, uncertainty in the air. How, I guess, are clients trying to manage just this uncertainty and the influence it could have on their future guidance of earnings going forward?
Google, a great question. You know, and like I say, it's predominantly our export market into the U.S. that's being affected by these tariff impositions. You know, and but when you're selling goods on an export basis, you're generally fixing that price that you sold on.
Yeah.
Now, if an imposition of duty comes in, you know, you're going to get your importer in America coming back to you as a manufacturer in SA and saying, listen, for your citrus items or whatever you're selling to them, I'm facing this 30% additional duty. I can't afford this product any longer. I can't afford to absorb that knock-on effect, you know.
Mm.
And it becomes a price negotiation thereafter, a drop in your price. If not, you're losing that sale altogether.
100%.
You know, so yeah, it makes it very, very uncertain and volatile in the market at the moment. The 90 days in terms of when's that up? Is it going to ease things up? You know, I mean, there's a huge focus on SA government in trying to strengthen the trade relationship with the U.S. at the moment. You know, long term, I'm sure we'll look at diversifying into different markets, maybe strengthening on other relationships that we have, possibly breaking down trade barriers, trying to make exports a bit easier into certain regions. You know, but in terms of current sales, it's very uncertain in terms of how you fix that. There's no way to fix a tariff imposition.
Yeah, 100%. Mkabisi Jonah is a man who has a tough task ahead of him now, as he's been led to, appointed to lead that special envoy and give us some clarity there. And already, I guess, there's certain sectors and industries that we are aware are typically exposed to the U.S. market and might have this 90-day tariff breather. The citrus industry, as you've mentioned, the automotive industry, we're still looking to get some feedback on that. But help us understand, as South African citizens, other avenues of our economy that might be exposed to this heightened level of uncertainty, given their reliance or the US being a key market for their export.
The U.S. is actually our second largest trade partner in terms of our exports. So a very massive market, $156 billion over the 2024 period is the value of goods that we exported there. You know, citrus and automotive, we were very concerned because AGOA is coming up for review towards the end of September. And that we were already on, it was looking quite edgy for the SA market in terms of Trump and the administration and the pushback from them. But from a AGOA export perspective, it's only 10% of our goods that go under the AGOA agreement. Mm-hmm. The balance of that 90% or 90% of the $156 billion is actually general commodities outside of your citrus and outside of your automobile. So it is a massive, massive impact if you put it into context of those numbers.
Got you. This, I guess, the typical example and quote that is used is that when two elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. So China and the U.S. Quite clearly going tit for tat in terms of the tariff dynamics. What are the implications for a market like South Africa and maybe some of our other emerging market peers?
So I think the benefit could be in terms of strengthening relationships elsewhere. You know, BRICS, we have great relationships, but we don't have any trade agreements with those countries. So it could bring about new innovation in terms of how SA is positioned in global trade. Short-term benefits, like I mentioned earlier, in terms of your exports that's coming out of China, they can't move those goods into the U.S. right now. I mean, to face 125% duty imposition, there's no way they're going to be able to absorb that that cost and get it into the consumer market, you know. So we'll probably see a lowering of prices and sell-off into the SA market and other markets that could possibly be favorable.
Is there a risk of dumping?
Certainly, there's always risk of dumping, but I think from a SARS perspective in South African imports, we have quite a vigilant valuation system that's always looking at the value of goods that's coming in per commodity.
Got you. So I can imagine for the entrepreneur who's listening in a bit of a panic, exports a lot of goods abroad to different markets and is potentially looking at ways to hedge their strategy. Jeesh, I know you can't give advice, but are there guidelines or tips that you can share?
I think the uncertainty takes away guidelines and tips at this stage.
Yeah.
You know, the situation could turn tomorrow. I mean, Thursday, the impositions on China was announced on Friday. There was exclusions of certain electronics because there was a realization of what they're doing to the U.S. economy. Mm. So, I mean, that could possibly turn because, I mean, a big market into the U.S. is our citrus in itself, you know. So that's going to directly affect the U.S. consumer. And you don't want to be driving up food prices in terms of where the economy is sitting at the moment. So hopefully we see some sensibility coming into the situation. And with engagement from the SA government, you know, hopefully we reach a halfway ground in terms of excluding certain commodities that we move into the US and coming to common grounds in terms of the balance of the goods.
100%. Dylan, it's going to be a very interesting 90 days ahead. If I'm not mistaken and my math serves me correctly, I think Trump has only been in office for about 90 days since the 20th of Jan. So, sheesh.
Yeah, there's still another 3.5-4 years for him to go. So this is not going to go away very quickly. Eh?
Oh, yeah. Let's buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Thanks so much, Dylan. Really appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you, Gugu.
Thank you. That's Dylan Govender, Head of Supply Chain at Investec Business Banking, joining us this evening. Thanks again. Sure. So lots to consider, right? As we mentioned, just when you thought you've touched the tip of the iceberg with the complexities around the various tariffs that have been placed, specifically between the US and China. Yes, we've got a 90-day breather, but what does this mean for our local businesses and our economy and our trade balance? So much still hangs in the loop. But something else that we also need to be mindful of, as we touched on the market performance earlier today and even discussing the gold price, is the fact that many investors were tweeting the other day that buy the dip, buy the dip. Donald Trump himself actually said that. And now that's led to an investigation that the Democratic congressman would actually like to implement against him. And when you buy the dip in a market, yes, it often signals a great sale. But not everything that might come at a cheaper or lower share price means that it's actually a cheaper valuation and makes for a good investment. So stay with us. In a moment, we're going to give you and answer some of your questions with regard to how to actually spot positive investments, even when you are looking to buy the dip in the market. And also, beefing it up with research.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.